Welcome to the Government IT Podcast from Converge One Government Solutions, featuring expert discussions around cloud solutions, cybersecurity, modern workplace, enterprise networking, and customer experience for government and civil agencies. And now, here are your hosts, Ryan Heath and Julian Foster.
So thanks for joining me again today, Ryan. I'm really excited to go through the rest of this Zoom Executive Briefing Center tour that we started talking about last time. And last time we were talking about the vast flexibility of the system, the software platform, but also the hardware that's compatible with the system that makes it possible for you to basically convert any space that you have available to suit whatever your meeting or teleconferencing needs are. And at that point in the walkthrough, it was really cool. He was in an open space that was surrounded. I think there was a little bit of a work area over on the side and a hallway behind or a walkway behind. And if you step out of that space, then the audio that's outside of that space is not transmitted as part of the meeting. I thought that was really amazing technology. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I've seen that, you know, in practice many times. It's really cool on just the open space concept to be able to have a meeting, you know, in a very large kind of open space that you see people kind of walking by back and forth, but you can never hear them. You know, in personal spaces, even, you know, maybe at a home office, can't hear the dog barking, the doorbell ringing, blocks all that kind of noise out as well. But really what I've seen is the best place for something like that, besides an open space area, is going to be in a boardroom. So you can have now a private meeting kind of in the back that nobody else can hear besides the participants that step into that space. So it's really good for large type of boardrooms.
Yeah, that's a really interesting use case. And then also, the display on the side, he demonstrated that with that display as an example, basically any open, any unused display that's in the facility could have a common broadcast happening. So there could be shared playlists or whatever kind of information they want to display on the various displays, and also emergency information, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's a kind of a really cool thing that they're doing, is they're putting the digital signage in, the emergency maps. You know, pretty soon they're going to have the, map for wherever you're trying to get to for new, you know, meeting rooms. So all that's now going to be interactive. All those types of, you know, technologies used to be separate licensing or completely separate, you know, hardware aspects. Mm-hmm. And everything's consolidated into one at, you know, really no cost. It's just part of the platform.
Yeah. And also, he mentioned, this is skipping ahead a little bit, but he mentioned that in the interactive mapping technology, they're going to start integrating wayfinding so that it sort of, you know, the system knows where you are within the facility and can provide you with contextual or relevant information to help you use whatever, you know, whatever's in your current environment.
Yeah, which is really great for those large spaces that have, you know, a lot of cubicles or a lot of meeting rooms. I think, you know, hospitals just trying to figure a way around, you know, in a campus environment, that's really helpful to easily go through a large scenario and get to your end destination without, you know, having to bother people that are working.
Yeah. And speaking of cubicles, he also demonstrated the capability to use, you know, some of the smaller pieces of technology for hot desk capabilities. And also even had a QR code on the table or on the desk, so that if there's no technology there, the user can at least scan the QR code to claim access to that space.
Yeah, I mean, that's really, you know, prevalent now with all of the hot desking and, you know, working from home, but then kind of coming to the office 2 or 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. Instead of having a dedicated space, you have more of an open shared space that you can, you know, your phone's going to ring, your video conferencing, everything becomes yours as soon as you scan that code.
And then also, I think one of the bigger parts of the demonstration was when he moved into the large open space, which he demoed as an education space. So it was sort of like a lecture hall. There was a presentation area up front, and he demoed that the appliance that was being used, I forget, you could tell me which one it was, I think, but it had a 130-degree viewing angle so that remote viewers would get a full view of the entire space. But then he also had a touch screen for whiteboarding, and he also had the capability of doing a close-up demonstration, you know, of whether it's a piece of technology or whatever needs to be presented to the class.
Yeah, they were using the Neat Board, which is, you know, really kind of cool. Right. It's got a really good wide-angle lens on it. It's got the auto framing built in. So it's one of those, you know, pieces of cool equipment, you know, displays that have everything kind of built into it. So it's really low cost to get into something like that. You got the whiteboard capability, which can be passed around to your smartphones and their devices within the room as well. And you hook up multiple cameras to it. So you can either have one that does like a demo, you know, type of space mm-hmm. or into the main speaker. So if you like, you're in, back in a boardroom scenario or a lecture hall, you can always have that within, you know, going to the podium, whoever's the speaker from there. And then the other cameras can go into the class space.
Right. Yeah. And I think that one of the things that, you know, besides the technology itself that that's so compelling about that part of the demonstration is it's a really great example of how they've simplified the components, the number of components that are necessary. And by doing so, they've given, you know, vast capability, but a very low cost compared to what it would have taken to do all of those things in the past.
Well, absolutely. You can become creative now with how you, you know, your setup is, and it's not going to be just, you know, I got this one piece of equipment or multiple pieces of equipment. It only does this type of room deployment. Mm-hmm. Now you can use that same kind of setup via the platform into multiple different kind of scenarios. So yeah. Real easy to kind of just get installed, start using, and then figure out, you know, creative ways to use it a little differently to really have more interaction with the other individuals on the other side of the camera.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think to your point, you know, that you made at the end of our chat last week, it allows you to convert the space that, you know, any given space to do whatever you needed to do sort of on the fly, you know, so these spaces become adaptable. They don't necessarily have to be, you know, used for the same thing every time. You could use them for various purposes, you know, on an ongoing basis, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, you can even take it another step farther, but how you would reuse the equipment if you're going to change the spaces. So you're not kind of married, you know, for a long-term idea of this room is now dedicated to this type of teaching environment or this type of boardroom. Mm-hmm. You know, all that equipment can be utilized for different scenario setups. So it's a multi-purpose, you know, use of this case.
Yeah. And then at the, I think the last segment of the demonstration, we went into another sort of smaller meeting room. It was kind of like a boardroom, right? And we had the people seated around the table. They were cutouts of movie stars, which is pretty funny. And yep. They demonstrated the auto follow capability and the auto framing capability and the fact that the device that was in the room is basically cutting it up into multiple streams so that it sees each person, but also breaks each person into two streams, if I remember correctly, so that it knows the head and the body. And then I think they're going to bring in AI for auto directing in the future. Is that right?
That is correct. So it's really kind of having your own kind of director built into that. So it's almost more like you're professionally, shooting everything in a studio environment with multiple cameras, even though everything's kind of built in right there within the bar.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. And one of the points that he made, and I think this is a very important point, is, you know, besides the cost effectiveness that's coming with, you know, all of these innovations and their very, you know, for lack of a better word, clever way of sort of bringing all these things together, what they're ultimately doing is creating meeting equity, you know, so that everyone, whether they're local in the space or they're teleconferencing in, has some sense of ownership and participation in the meeting, which is, you know, I think they're pulling off really well.
Yeah. I mean, they're really trying to get to a point of like teleconference. Maybe 10 years ago, it was called telepresence, where, you know, it was just like you were on the other side of a boardroom. Mm-hmm. You would see, you know, the facial recognitions because it would zoom in on the individuals really tight. It almost like you were there. So they're getting really close to that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, previously you were talking a price point of $250,000 to be able to do that. You know, now you're in that 10 grand, 20 grand range. It's yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. And one of the things that's really interesting too, is we talked about before, you know, the idea that they're trying to make everything almost one button to push, right? And then all of the technologies, not just the Zoom software application, but you know, other pieces of software that are interoperable, such as Microsoft Teams. I think they also said Google Meet is going to be coming in soon, if it's not already. You know, so all of the software platforms and pieces of technology are coming together to create this extremely easy to use platform for people local and people telecommuting or teleconferencing in. And what I thought was remarkable about that is I can't tell you how many times I was in a boardroom at, you know, Fortune 500 companies with like tens or if not hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equipment, like you mentioned, and they never used it. We never used the technology that was in the room because it was too complicated and there were wires everywhere and multiple Starfish phones on the table. It was pretty crazy. But now, you know, everything is so seamless and easy to use.
I mean, that just goes back to the platform. The platform's, you know, really good and they're interoperating with a lot of different, you know, third parties and, you know, just taking the Microsoft Teams environment. So, you know, people do a lot of Teams meetings, you know, video as well. But it doesn't really give you that, you know, video conferencing solution that Zoom can give you. So it could write on top of Teams and then provide all of the cool bells and whistles to really kind of get that automated for you with the one, you know, touch, join, the following of the video, really good for the boardrooms. So it adds a lot to it. And you don't have to, you know, deploy Zoom everywhere just on those types of meetings. It's more of an add-on type of feature and functionality for it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the more clever aspects to, you know, their roadmap, at, you know, what they've been doing and what they're, you know, doing in the future is making it something that they're not sort of in their own lane. It's something that everybody can sort of, you know, plug into and you know, sit on top of, which makes them, you know, ubiquitous in every way, which is, I think, really smart. And also great for the end users, you know, most importantly.
And that's, I think, what it's about. They really try to focus on the end user and what it's going to look like instead of just the back-end equipment and, you know, licensing, things of that nature. So the ease of use, I think, is their number one thing.
Yeah. So that's really amazing. I mean, it's everything they're doing with the platform is just so impressive. And like you said, with the end user in mind, you know, they're really very successful at making an easy to use platform, one button technology. Basically, that brings all the components together, software and hardware alike. Is there anything that you wanted to say in closing about the platform or about demos, maybe?
Yeah, if anybody wants to do a demo, you know, contact us. We can get it spun up within 24 hours. We also have access to, you know, cameras, phones. So whatever environment that you're looking to demo, we can, you know, give that to you guys and get that really kind of spun up fast. It's easy to use. It's better to touch it and feel it and demo it live in your environment.
Right.
To actually get a good feel how it works.
And how long can customers, you know, demo the technology for?
60 to 90 days is typical.
All right. Excellent. Well, as always, thanks for your time, Ryan. I really enjoyed doing these episodes together with you. And, you know, we'll be back very soon next week to talk about some more government technology and looking forward to your insights and whatever it is that we want to discuss next time.
All right. Thank you.
Excellent.
Appreciate it.
Everyone have a great day.